We'd like to begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which the project is created, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We would also like to pay our respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging.
Settle down and gather round for another tale. In the world of Nuar, where time has carved and cultivated a magical utopia of wonder, a small group of adventurers unlock the deep mysteries of the land, its people, and themselves. Welcome to the Down Under Dungeon podcast.
Bran, it's Lysandra. I have the most incredible story to tell you. It's the 19th day of summer beneath the House of Avartis. My journey has spanned 5 days through the dangerous Badlands. It all started when Feng, my new friend, hatched a remarkable fire chicken over the breakfast fire. He implored the need to pursue our bushwhackers on an expedition into the Plains of Peril, leaving behind Sister Yellen and Ardwenevere at the caravan headed to Lala Drud. We delved deeper into the Orange Expanse. Our days were knackering beneath the sun, but filled with curious discoveries. A cache with a raven effigy filled with mystical items, and encounters with a mantelope wrangler, which led to the discovery of a puzzling connection between Louis and the Jarl of Lala Drud. Despite constant obstacles of obstructive barriers and swarming flies, there were moments of whimsy with Feng's waltz to the moon pixies, dancing away from the firelight. Personally, though, the nighttime disturbance of an owl has somewhat offset me. While every instinct is pointing to the logical littleness, something about that black owl's piercing look is off-putting, like it was seeing something else through me. As we journeyed into the centre of the Great Chasm Labyrinth, signs of our bushwhackers began to emerge, leading us to an abandoned mineshaft with curious tracks and a sign of immense struggle. I hope I see you again soon, Bran. It's quiet without you.
All right. So, you are all standing on the outside of this tunnel that you have discovered. It is through this tunnel where you found these tracks. And you are all not so fresh adventurers, considering what you've been going through in the last 5 days through the wastes. And you stand here in this moment of discovery, the sun hanging low and red in the sky, casting long shadows down into the tunnel itself. How's everyone feeling at this moment? Feng, let's start with you.
Oh, I've been thinking about, since last week, what's been pulled out of that cave. I have my sacred D20 here that rolled many crits last week. I'm ready to rock this week.
I feel like now you've said that, you've jinxed it.
Oh, that's the plan.
Incredibly ruined.
Bath ready?
Yeah. Are we going to cleanse it in moon water?
Yeah, cleanse it in moon water, exactly. Feng himself is probably feeling cautiously optimistic. He is not wanting to face his true fears of the fact that he's kind of just pulled three randoms into a party to go off on some hightail chase, when in reality he just doesn't want to go to Lala Drud and fail his initiation test for the third time. Mm-hmm. So
very true. Louis.
Hi. Yeah.
How's the sciatica going?
Shame.
I mean, you've been trouncing through these like rock formations.
Yeah, I'm having a great time. My hips are loving me. My back's slightly dead.
You've got that like Florida grandma tan,
It's like my hair is a mess. Everything's awful. I mean, feeling pretty okay. I think I mind still kind of on the fact that Scruff is here. How the hell he got to be a Jarl in the city that we're going to. I think that's just kind of like something she's been pondering. And then, how the hell something got dragged out of a cave. How we kind of got all basically left together as a group. And it's kind of the feeling of, okay, here's another bag of ragamuffins that I got to keep my eyes on. This always happens. I can't get away from it. I think she's already very fond of everyone, but does not want to admit that.
Yeah? Mm. I'll make an insight check for me, like an inner insight check.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, Jesus. Insight is +3, so 15?
15. You are on this quest now to go and find your ex-students,
yeah,
or your the people who you used to look after. And, you know, these people have gone all over the expanse of Nua. Mm. And now you're standing before these four new adventurers who are very much at the start of their journey.
Yeah.
And a pang of, I don't want to say self-doubt, but maybe the understanding of, like, man, I've just, like, met a lot of different people and left them. And I'm going to have to do, maybe I'm like, I mean, this is what I'm going to do now? Like,
it's definitely that kind of mixed feeling of, I've left everything that I've been comfortable with to basically then start doing the same thing in another place. Am I equipped for this? I don't think she is. And I think she's, like, yeah, trying to come to terms with that as well.
Sweet. And Feng, I suppose if you're so, like, cognizant of, like, oh no, I've dragged all these people in with me, I suppose, make me, like, a nature or survival check.
Okay. I'll do a survival check. Because that's what he's just trying to do. He's just trying to survive, really.
Yeah.
That's an 18 on the die. So it becomes a 24.
24. And I'll also say make an inner insight check.
Oh, no.
Join the insight check crew.
Okay. That is a 4 on the die, which becomes a 10.
Feng, you're like someone who's definitely gone in so far over their head now. It's like, I don't have time to process the fact that I've gotten these people into danger.
100%.
I just need to figure out this mystery and get it done. And so I feel like even though you're looking around at your compatriots here and they're all quite tired, Louis is kind of bent over. You just kind of really focus in on the task at hand and you're like, okay, this temptation might be to just rest here, but night is falling. And you will be able to follow these tracks even at nighttime, given your skill. So you are dreading the moment that you might have to rally these guys to keep pushing. And it's all your fault.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Just a light. It's all your fault.
Yeah. Not all your fault, but you know what I mean. All right, and let's move over to our fairy companion, Quig. Man, you've had a big couple of days.
Yep.
Big couple of days. I suppose maybe there might have been some kind of, like, naivety being from where you're from. And the similarities are kind of striking in that kind of weird and wacky nature. And that perhaps that there are more, similarities between Nua and the Fae Court than you had first kind of considered to be possible.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right about the naivety, and I think he's still focused more on the magic, and he's kind of, even though he's joined this party, he's, you know, investigating, reading auras, and working out stuff in his notebook. So he's kind of like he's looking out for everyone, but also he's not well equipped to be, you know, in combat because he just doesn't understand much about this world. So I think he is staying positive, but he has a few rude awakenings along the way, including our recent discovery of the cave and the drag marks and stuff. That's more shocking to him, not something... He just has no idea what to expect. So he's a little bit... now hesitant.
So let me say that because of your hesitancy in this moment, where is Quig focusing his energy? Is he focusing it into trying to understand his companions and trying to, like, move things along with that, or is he solely, like, being quite analytical?
Yeah, I think he's retreating into what he knows, so he's looking for magical causes, potential dangers.
Give me an arcana check.
That is an 18.
An 18. You've been traveling with this party for quite, a considerable amount of time now. And so you've kind of started to pick up small things about each of the way that your party members express magic. Feng's is almost similar to your family back home, but whereas it's not so much that he has been endowed with magic, but rather he taps into the inherent natural current of this land. And that is kind of solving some of your suspicions around, like, there's lots of like dangerous magical beasts in here. Mm. Like the landscape is harsh, but also kind of multifaceted in the way it can be a risk or a massive reward. Then you've got someone like Louis, who her magic kind of manifests its way in a almost like an internal alchemical combustion of will. Mm. It's different. And then there's Lysandra that you've been looking at, and no apparent magical aura is emanating from her, and yet there's just something about her presence that is even foreign to what you've experienced in this land, which doesn't make any rational sense because, you know that she's from Feldspar, or what she has said. You know, there are tieflings in the Fae Court as well. You've never seen one with four horns before. Like, things are, like, not matching up. And her kind of nervousness is also, perhaps, you know, you've felt that before. And so that also leaves you wondering on what her connection is to the land.
Yeah, for sure. Just a lot of mystery still. But a lot of starting points for, like, yeah, I need to figure that out.
And Lysandra, speaking of, what is going through your head at the moment as you're standing at the mouth of this tunnel? You know, you've been walking for days. You've got sand through a chain mail. You've got blisters on your feet. Hair's a mess.
I think the first thing she would do would be fix her hair. But she's definitely nervous at the idea that something is being dragged out of a cave. I mean, that shouldn't really happen. But there's a hint of excitement in there. She's anxious, she's excited. It's all very not really clear. But with the journey that she's been on with these people who are basically strangers, there's a little bit of comfort, sort of, and erring on the side of caution.
Okay. Make me a charisma saving throw with disadvantage.
What?
Well, there goes something.
Seven.
A seven. You feel off. Like, something's, like, bubbling up within you. And it's only really happened in the last couple of days where you've kind of, like, really felt that you are not doing something because someone has asked you to do it. You know, you were sent up here to kind of begin your pilgrimage and, you know, maybe you've still convinced yourself that this is what it is, but deciding to come and do this when it's not the optimal thing to do has kind of unlocked this sense of responsibility and sense of agency within you that probably wasn't there before. And but with that, a sudden sense of like unease and uncertainty that you're doing your own thing, but now there is no more safety nets. There's no more people that are looking out for you or your best interests. And there's just a slight hint of anxiety, like you're being watched, something over your shoulder. You know, you are excited in that moment, but now that this is a quiet moment and in the quiet moments in the journey in the last couple of days, you've felt an uneasy presence around you.
And I think that's definitely playing on the back of her mind as we all stand here. Yeah, I think she's probably been just fiddling with her braid and the ribbon going through her braid, tying it, untying it, and is just constantly doing that to try and distract herself from that thought playing in the back of her mind.
Great. All right, team. This is where we will take on from here. So what would you all like to do? What roles are we making?
First thing I'd like to do is, can I just, like, as everyone's kind of, like, taken a moment here and we've seen this, can I just make a general, I guess, vibe check, insight check on how everyone's doing?
Mm-hmm.
Just to learn everything we were just talking about.
Specifically, I'm just looking for, because everyone's gone really quiet, so...
This is all happening in instant, but yes.
Yeah. Well, because we were talking, we saw these tracks, and everyone went like, whoomp, and I'm like, okay, it's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20.
Just like general feeling of unease. Everything's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose Lysandra's probably wearing things on her face only because maybe she hasn't learned how to do that yet to kind of like keep that shit buried down. Feng is covered in dirt and dust and exhausted. So yeah. He's very happy with the whole situation. I suppose Feng can decide how much of the unease that's slipping out because of the danger he's putting his party mates in.
I think he's definitely standing at the mouth of the cave, just kind of looking into the void of darkness and trying to purposefully hide his face because he's definitely wearing it as well.
Yeah.
And is trying to not show it, and is like getting ready to turn around and try to convince everyone that we need to find this thing because it's somehow linked to the bandits and Galvin, and it's probably not, but who knows.
Mm. Cool. I think just kind of clocking the general, like everyone's, I have a feat that's called Inspiring Leader. I can spend 10 minutes inspiring my companions, choose up to 6 allies, including yourself, that can see or hear and understand you within 30 feet. Each creature gains 5 temporary HP once per short rest.
Ooh, cute.
So I think I'm just going to kind of like look at everyone, just kind of like, okay, so everything's a little off right now. I don't know what this is. She kind of like gestures at the cave and the tracks and everything. But I know that we've been just going for pretty much five days. So let's just, before we make any hasty decisions, take a second, check in, and give ourselves a moment to kind of breathe before we rush headlong into danger. So everyone's going to get 5 temporary hit points as we all just kind of like take a minute. I just want to get everyone to breathe.
Yeah, you can all take, if you need to. I don't think anyone's taken damage.
I don't think so, and I don't think it counts as healing. It stacks on top.
That's what I'm saying. So you can, if you want to take a short rest now and roll hit dice, you can. But I don't think you get anything else back on a short rest at this point.
No, and I don't think it's I think it's specifically just something I can do once per short rest. It doesn't have to be during a short rest.
Oh, sweet. No worries.
Yeah. Okay. I can just use it once every couple of hours.
Quig, as you've been speaking, and is kind of like, he looks a bit visibly shaken, but he calms down a bit because he was trying to like kind of write with his wand. He's trying to write something in the air in front of him, casting a spell. And he manages to get kind of the jitters sorted with his hand. And he draws his little equation, which then gestures onto himself as he casts Mage Armor. Him, as an illusionist, his Mage Armor is, it's sort of bending the light around him. It's not that it's physically protecting him. It is making him harder to see. He just like has little moments of like blur where his arm's not quite in the place where you think it is, and it's just a little trippy to look at while he has it cast.
That's incredible. That's really cool.
Sweet. And Lysandra, you've heard this expiring speech. Does she put the face back on?
Yeah, she toughens up a little bit. I think she listens in and just kind of like shakes off the nerves and gets serious again.
Okay, so what would you all like to do now? I would suggest maybe... Actually, let's make investigation or perception checks. Feng, if you want to use survival, if you're tracking, you can do that.
Yeah, I'll probably use survival.
Okay, Feng, what are we getting?
15 survival.
Louis?
7 perception.
7 perception. Mm-hmm. Quick?
23 investigation.
Whoa.
Okay.
10 perception.
10 perception.
Numbers gang.
Okay, so let's go for the high first. 23 investigation and your nature of survival.
Survival was 15.
15. Okay, that's pretty good. So I'm gonna say Feng, almost like a truffle pig, just kind of like gets down real low. He's like tasting the sand, because of course sand is just sodium carbonate. NaCl.
Just a moment, audience. Our DM needs to work out the periodic table.
Isn't it? Yeah, sodium chloride is salt.
Is that? Yeah, NaCl. Yeah, you know that it's just basically silicon, which is kind of a byproduct for a lot of stuff that used to make things like pottery and glass and things like that. So you're very familiar with it from the wildfire circle, and you can really like taste almost like what has been here. You can taste this with a 15. You can't get anything specific. You get a taste of something you've never tasted before, but you also kind of like get the essence of like humanoid sweat, essentially.
Yeah, he's also probably calling back to the party of like, I think if we follow where this thing was dragged to, we might be able to find someone or something that we're looking for.
Yeah, makes sense.
And with that, at 24 investigation check, Quig. I'll say 23.
Also, could I have... Sorry, I know we talked about kind of like resting just before. Could I have ritual cast detect magic as well?
How long is the casting time? 10 minutes. For a mage armor, though? Is that mage armor's instant?
That's one action.
Oh, yeah. So it's instantaneous.
Yes.
Yeah, you can be doing that as well, I will say.
Thank you.
So with that 24, you're kind of essentially like putting out these magical points of light that are kind of analyzing the landscape before you. You look out from this high place where the tunnel rests inside the face of this monolith, and you are kind of essentially looking at the layout of the land, the intricate moving patterns and lines of all these caverns and gorges that are interlocking, and almost trying to like puzzle it out, like you're looking at a maze from like an aerial view.
Yeah.
And towards the south, you investigate a small glint in the setting sun. It's kind of weird. It's like a shiny, and then around 3-second intervals. So there will be three little kind of flashes of the silver light, and then a stop, and appears upon a large monolith of stone. But within another one of these natural caves carved by the wind, and appears to be some kind of contraption. So unless you want to ask the group, you can make a history or I think a history check.
Sure.
With disadvantage.
I would call over whoever's closest to me.
Yeah.
I'd say, does anyone else want to take a look at this?
Lysandra would probably be the closest in the cave.
And does that glint look natural, or maybe like it's controlled, like
man-made? I'll say with a 23, man-made.
Okay. As you go to look as well, I'm just gonna hand you a hard candy. Be like, look sharp. Give you bardic inspiration.
Thank you. I've gotten a little bit more used to this.
So, what exactly are we looking at?
Well, can you see that over there? Some sort of contraption. Where? On the
out there.
Lysandra,
once it's pointed out to you, there is no history check needed. You would know these to be contraptions that are used all over Feldspar. There is basically a simple yet effective fan that draws in fresh air into like large internal networks. It's kind of like a AC system or an air ventilation system, suggesting that this monolith is actually a large structure.
We had these in Feldspar. I don't really know what they do, but maybe it's a structure of some sort?
Something further on the ground?
Maybe.
All right, let's keep an eye out for that as we go.
Okay. How, if you guys are moving now, so it is late... The sun is well and truly like set, so it's now just the ambient sunlight that is like reaching the far horizon. How are we moving forward?
Just to clarify as well, are we tracking where this thing was dragged to?
Both are heading towards the same direction.
Okay.
I would say. You were kind of narrowing down the scope for Quick to actually look into, like what area to look in.
Cool.
Given the direction of the tracks. But yeah, you would assume, having identified this fan, that wherever this thing was dragged to is likely to that location.
Yeah, there are man-made structures maybe leading underground, so keeping an eye out for other people.
Do we need to proceed stealthily?
I think that would be best.
Oh, God.
Okay. So what I will do is, given it's dark... This is how we're going to proceed. So, given that it's nighttime and not all of you have dark vision, I'm going to say Feng's survival check or nature check, whatever you'd like to make. How well he rolls will depend whether you make your stealth check flat, disadvantage, or with advantage. Does that sound fair?
Mm-hmm. That sounds really fair.
Sweet. Okay. So, Feng, can I get a... What are you doing?
I will do survival. A survival.
Okay.
Do you announce that you're going to like start to look?
Yeah, because I suppose we as a part, like as a group, would have had that conversation, yeah. Especially when I was saying, yeah, we need to go stealthily, or we need to go and check in this direction.
Cool. I'm going to just come over as you're going to start to look, hand you a hard candy, be like, look sharp, give me bardic inspiration.
Immediately unwraps it and eats it.
Yeah.
Is your bardic a d6?
It is, yeah, d6.
Awesome. Let's see how I roll first. Not too bad. That's a 23 on survival.
Oh, damn.
Do we think it needs to be higher? Why not?
What's the harm?
What's the harm?
We have a minute to use this inspiration.
Oh, I rolled a 1. So it becomes 24.
Woo! Okay. All right. Because of that 24, everyone can make their stealth check with advantage, being no roll needed.
Sweet.
Very nice.
Okay. What did we get?
12.
Only an 11.
11.
You have Bardic.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
17.
12, 17.
Amend my 11 to a 17.
Ah,
very thank nice. You.
Have you eaten the candy yet?
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
Oh, I have.
Yes, we finally ate a candy.
I think Louis sees you eat a candy and it's just like, I'm getting through to him.
Interdimensional shackles. I'm from the ground. Pull you to, yeah. No. Okay. So you all move like shadows in the night. This is now you've spent about the best part of a week in these Badlands. And so you've become very, very accustomed to kind of how the light works and which are the best places to put your feet. And with Feng helping you from the front, you are all able to come up upon these tracks closer and closer to this monolith. You come up upon this structure, and it is so vast, you don't really even need a perception check. This is a huge monolith. So a monolith is a singular piece of rock in formation. It's not like a mountain, which has like lots of rocks within it and dirt. This is one singular stone, or what remains of one. It was presumably shattered long ago into a jutting cluster of craggy rocks, which, smoothed by the wind over time, into what can only be described as a huge, naturally formed fortress. As the moons of Nuar begin to rise, it provides a stark contrast in the purple light and shadow. I'll now allow you all to make a perception check. Feng.
17.
Louis.
12.
Quig.
21.
And Sandra.
1.
1. Natural?
Natural 1.
Yikes.
Okay. We're back, baby.
I don't know. I'm PTSD rolling from the first episode.
I'm rolling pretty well today.
Lysandra, with that one, look, even you can't miss that they're closer towards the party, a smaller, thinner monolith, perhaps once a tower of this great sanctuary, was sheared off, which has kind of torn down the front part of the monolith and is kind of crossed over a ravine, fashioning it into some kind of bridge to a gatehouse or entry. This would be unremarkable to any person who wasn't like standing here and looking for something. But even with a nat one, like you can see that this is the most obvious thing sticking out. For everyone else, you all rolled high enough to see that there are these discreetly carved nooks and crannies above the far edge of the bridge. They are carved within the rock face and appear to be very dark on the inside and foreboding. You also see below these like small windows that there is a gatehouse guarded by what appears to be a host of bandits. There are at least 12, with 4 carrying hooked halberds, and the rest have thorny hand crossbows.
Well, we found the bandits.
Whoa, that's a lot of them.
So standing here with this perception check, you see that the monolith is on the other side of this gorge, essentially. The gorge is kind of acting as a sort of moat towards this monolith. All right, so what do you guys want to do? What checks do you want to make? This is what you see. What would you like to do? You're still far away enough that they probably won't be able to hear you whispering.
Okay. I think I just kind of want to gather everyone in and be like, okay, so I'm guessing this is what we're looking for. Are we trying to smash our way in? Are we trying to get in discreetly? Are we still looking for the guy who's the dude? Or are we trying to follow up on the handprint insignia thing we found?
Yeah, the bloody paw print. We can follow that. Does it look like they have any gatherings of food and water? Like, you know, they were trying to steal food and water from us. So do we see any of that around?
No, you want to look?
Yeah, do we see any?
With your perception check before, it did not seem. You can make an insight check or a wisdom check for me.
And we didn't see Galvin, did we?
No.
I might make an insight check to try to figure out what they're doing. Like, is it like a group of them congregating together?
Hmm.
I'll give you the help action by just kind of looking over your shoulder so you can roll with advantage. Yeah, it's just like trying to point out along with you as you're kind of discussing what you're seeing, trying to maybe highlight things within that that I see.
Yeah.
I'll roll now, thanks. Oh, I needed it. That's a nat 1, but also a 9, which becomes 15.
A 15. Look, these, it's clear to you that what the bandits who you're seeing are kind of almost like the front guard, yeah? And if there was anything that of value that they'd been hoarding, it's probably likely inside the monolith itself, not at the gatehouse.
I think there's too many of them for us to take on.
I agree. I mean, as proficient as you are, Alessandra, it's, that's 12 of them, and we are 4.
I don't think I could take that on, but I also don't think I'm very stealthy.
Well, true, but none of us have strength in every aspect of ourselves. I don't know, what's the...
Speak for yourself, jack of all trades.
Half proficiency. Yeah. It's half proficiency. So are we... What's the go here? Are we trying to sneak around? Are we trying to get in? Are we going to try to find backup to come back and help us with this? Or are we trying to be literal spies here?
Well, they surely might be at this place for a good reason. That is to say that the monolith itself seems to have some significance. If we could sneak around, I'd like to get a closer look at it, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Make an investigation check for me, quick.
It's a natural one.
Natural one.
The last comment I made, I take it back, about me rolling well today.
With a nat one, look.
I see monolith.
Yeah. Rock.
Well, with a nat one, all you get is... If you can't go over it, you have to go under it. And you kind of glance down into the ravine before you. And that's all you get with a one.
Well, I can get down there. You just see me, yeah, looking at the monolith and then look down the ravine. I'm like, I could get down there.
Yeah, quick goes to just step off.
Okay, you have wings. We do not. Are you asking us to climb?
Everyone else can make investigation checks.
Well, I don't see any other way around.
Fang.
Nat 20, same dice.
Listeners, have you ever been a DM that's been personally victimized by cooked dice?
I should probably test this dice.
Call 1-800 today for civil forfeiture claims in order to have the courts get involved to steal your player's dice back.
Okay. I'll retire it for now.
Okay, so nat 20. Let's just go for that. Fang, you immediately look over towards the bridge and you can see that when the tower had fallen, its tip had kind of like carved its way jaggedly to the bottom of the ravine, providing what appears to be a clear and more sure-footed descent into the bottom. However, this path is much closer to the gatehouse and all of these like ominous archer nests. So there appears to be another ledge further around. Closer towards you that is much more secluded, but it is a ledge, so it would require you to rappel down rather than climb the ravine, which would be more perilous.
I would point out both options to the party and say, so which one do you think is safer? I think if we can get a look inside and see if we find anything, then we can continue, and if we don't, then we can leave.
So you're saying we need to go down there?
Maybe. If we want to, otherwise we can fight through, but I don't think we stand a very good chance.
I don't think we do either, but how experienced are you all at climbing down?
From what he said, there seems to be one easier route, but we need to be a lot more stealthy, and there's one that would be harder, but more secluded. So I guess it depends on either how sneaky we are or how dexterous we can be.
Is there a way that you could help all of this, and she gestures to her chainmail, be stealthy?
Just take it off.
You still have to put it in a bag.
Go on, take off your armor. Take off your armor.
I have a pitch.
It goes to 8.
No, thank you.
I have a pitch. If I was to wild shape into an animal with a climb speed, would I be able to cart people down?
Yeah, okay. So I feel like with that nat 20, I'm just going to let you guys know how this is going to work. But essentially, if you go closer to the guards, you'll be rolling against their active perception rolls, whereas the side descent, you'll be against their passive perception. And so either way, if you're going down the easier route closer to the bridge, you can choose whether you make athletics or acrobatics checks. Obviously, the DCs will be a little bit lower. But the side descent, you are essentially like rappelling down a rope. So it will be athletics checks.
But if I was to wild shape into a creature with climb speed,
yeah,
would I be able to like carry someone down?
Depends on the size of the creature.
A giant lizard is a large beast.
Okay. It takes your stats though, doesn't it? Oh, no, you can go as a size larger for carrying, can't you?
I can, as a firbolg.
Is carrying and climbing the same?
No.
No. Okay. So I'm going to say you could definitely get yourself down. Easy peasy. But okay, there are still two members of the party that will have to consider this. So it's more probably up to them.
I do have another idea. I could try and make an illusory sound to distract the guards that are out the front. We could maybe use that to sneak past, whether it's through or under.
That's a great idea.
We can give that a go when we're ready.
Yeah.
Is there somewhere we can draw them away from the door and we can just run straight in?
I'll have a look over there. I'll try to map out, because for me to use minor illusion, I would need to get within 30 feet of the point that I'm casting.
Make an just a raw intelligence check for me.
Oh, not good. Seven.
I would say with me. Seven. You're probably not thinking so rationally at this moment, but then a part of you also realizes that casting magic would reveal that there are some, like, your illusions aren't that great, basically. And so even though you are tossing up with a seven intelligence check, whether the element of surprise is better than instigating an illusion.
Yeah, and getting close. Quig goes into a state of kind of, what's the term? Because like overthinking paralysis, thought paralysis almost, as he just stares at it and he's trying to map something out in his mind. So his speech slows down. He zones out a bit. He's I'm not entirely sure. And he just kind of zones out like that.
Hey Pudgy, kiddo. Okay?
Kiddo, you there?
Oh. Yeah. No, what were we doing?
Oh, I think we've
lost him. What did we decide?
We have two options. We can either take a risk. Are we used to climbing? Is that a thing that everyone's comfortable doing? Or should we risk it and take a chance on Lady Luck?
I feel fairly comfortable with climbing, but I more worry about you.
I can handle myself, I promise you. I may have arthritis and be older. I can still climb a rope.
Okay.
I can float down myself.
I push that bolt out of the way. Surely I can climb down a rope.
Yeah, you are very strong.
Yeah, does anyone have rope in their inventory?
Everyone should, I believe.
I don't believe so, because I got a scholar's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do not.
Yeah, I have 50 feet of rope.
Yeah, 50 feet.
I got 50 feet.
Okay, so who is going to tie the rope?
Great question.
I'm just
very great question.
Listeners, we're having a giggles because in a previous home game, whoever tied the rope did a very bad job of it and it did not end well. We lost the rope. So, what are we doing?
Is anyone good at tying ropes?
I can give it a shot.
All right, go for it.
I'm going to see if I think that the amount of rope I've got will be enough to get us all the way down.
Test the slack. If it goes slack, it hits.
The rope, it becomes taut as you drop the 50 feet of it down, which means you might have to tie a couple of ropes to get there.
I'm going to put my hand out to Ben. Can I have your rope, please?
Yeah, sure thing.
Thank you. And I'm going to try and tie those ones together.
Okay. And then how are you securing it to the ledge?
There's no, like, rocks on the ground, is there?
That's what I mean.
Yeah, so there'd be like bits of rocks.
Yeah, I'm not trying to scream.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So I'm going to do that. I'm first going to tie it together and just like pull it as hard as I can to make sure it's not going to become untied.
Okay. Make me a sleight of hand check as you tie the rope around the boulder.
Okay. That is a 19.
Okay. Yeah, you see Lysandra securely fastens the rope around this boulder, and as she feeds the rope over, it goes slack at the bottom, indicating that the ravine's about 100 feet deep.
Just. All right.
That's very high.
Hey, hey, hey. Don't fall.
We are going to do this in rounds. So it is a DC 10 to descend without slipping. Failure will require some other rolls, so you're just having to beat that DC 10. A successful strength check will enable you to move your movement down the rope, a half movement if you're going to go up the rope. So the ravine is 100 feet deep. So do not fall off from the top, because that is 10d6 falling damage.
Ouch.
Okay.
What happens if someone does fall off? Oh, no.
Anyone got feather fall?
No. Anyone want to re-roll the character?
Yeah. Okay. So, who's going first? Who's doing what?
I think I will float about halfway down because I can do so safely. And so I'm going a fair way down because I want to cast light just from my wand, have it start glowing, kind of like lavender light, out 20 feet bright, 20 feet dim. So I'm going deep enough so it won't be seen by the bandits, but so it'll illuminate down here a bit.
Okay. Yeah, we did establish that this was more secluded, so you didn't have an actual line of sight to where the bandits are. I will allow that. So you can just feather fall down with your fairy wings.
Yep.
So what we will do is, let's just roll initiative for our other three party members.
Yes, sir.
Okay, going around the table. Fang.
19.
Louis.
3.
Lysandra.
13.
And then Quig's just chilling.
Just chilling.
Okay, so as you begin...
not flapping. How do my wings work? Like a dragonfly.
Yeah. You see Quig's wings start to like... Even though he is himself exhausted after all these days traveling, his wings seem to like perk up a little bit and jitter to life. You see a tiny like hints and dusts of fairy dust start to like emanate out of him like some weird like lunar moth, and they glint off him. And he, just steps out and begins to very slowly in like that like spiral pattern you see a moth underneath the street lamp. Like, I want lamp, but yeah, the moth spiraling down as you begin your descent. Vang, I need an athletics check from you, please.
That's a 7.
A 7? Okay, I'm going to need a dexterity saving throw from you. As you see, Fang goes, I'll go first, and immediately slips.
Nat 20 on the saving throw.
20.
That was with a different dice as well. Oh, holy God. Shit.
You see, Fang, you're only able to move half your movement down because you fall half your movement down. But with that Nat 20, you're able to grab onto the rope. You see that he does so in such a way that the rope wraps around his hand and stops him from sliding down the rope.
I meant to do that.
And looks back up at Lysandra, who's probably great that that just happened.
She's a little bit on edge now and is going to make sure the rope stays in place and let Louis go first.
Okay, so you're going to give Louis the help action.
Yes.
Okay. As you, gingerly hold out your hand like you're helping an elderly person off the tram.
Truly. Okay. So that's rolling with advantage?
Yep.
Yep. 14.
14. Okay. So it's just a DC 10 for all of these checks, so just let me know if you pass or fail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you reach it, you beat it. So you are able to move your full movement down to where Feng is.
Hi, kiddo. How you doing?
I'm a little bit tangled up, but I think I'm going to do okay.
You can choose to make another athletics or a dexterity check to move past him because you have, what, 30 feet movement?
Yes.
Yes. Or you can just wait your turn here and wait for Feng to go underneath you.
I think I'll just wait, seeing the fact that he did slip last time, and I'll just, like... be braced in case something does happen.
Okay, Lysandra, your turn.
Okay. Sorry, it was athletics?
Athletics.
That's a 15, so beats.
You pass, and you are also able to move down. Do you wait at the 20 foot, or do you choose to make an acrobatics check to try? It will be harder because there's two people below you.
I'm going to wait.
Okay, you're going to wait. Are you?
I'm feeling a building pressure.
You've got this.
And especially just with Quig, just kind of like absentmindedly, like just picking at his wand, just like smiling around.
Once my wand's on, I'm just like a little firefly, just buzzing my way down.
I'm coming, buddy.
All right, Feng, let's go. You guys are 20 foot down the ravine.
I failed again. That's a 9. Oh, that's an 8, sorry.
Need a dexterity saving throw.
19 on the die.
Yes, God.
That's not a crit. I still need you to roll a d4.
It becomes a 21. Does that matter?
Oh, okay. Past the 21, you take 1 fire damage of rope burn as you have to grab onto this rope. Rope burn is no joke.
No joke.
Ow, that hurt my hand.
Okay, so you also are only able to move half your movement. No. The confidence exuded by Fang is slowly diminishing as he's going down this rope. So you are now 40 foot down.
No, I would be 30 foot down because I'd be 15 feet and then 15 feet.
Okay.
I'm so sorry, everyone. I'm trying my hardest. I don't think I'm very good at climbing.
Are you okay?
No, not really.
You can do this. I believe in you.
Having an existential crisis.
Okay, Louis, that is your turn.
Yes, sir. Damn it. It's a 9.
Fail.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Okay, I need a dexterity saving throw.
And your dex is great.
Oh, so great. Yeah, not a negative one at all. Let's say 14.
14. You also take 1 point of fire damage. Ouch. Oh, rope burn on like old skin.
Yeah, that's against some arthritic lumps in there.
Oh yeah, I think also it's probably helped. Like it's like popped a couple of your knuckles.
Honestly, yeah, actually, I think it's like the kind of heat therapy. Yeah. So it's, I'm moving a little freer.
Just deep heat.
Ye olde deep heat.
Deep heat damage. Okay. Now, Lysandra, you're taking up technically the rear, but technically. Above.
Is 14.
Pass. So you are able to move down the 15 feet. So everyone is at 30 feet. At the start of the round, Quig, I need you to make a perception check for me.
I shall do so. Ooh. 9.
Oh, no.
You're killing me, buddy.
I'm just floating.
I want to point out the cool stuff, though.
The cool stuff.
I would say you are concentrating more on the party, like looking inwards rather
than.
Yeah,
I think especially when they're falling. Get a little distracted by that.
So slip and sliding.
Of all the spells I have that will absolutely not help them in any way. silent image.
Just everyone on the rope being like, "You've got a wizard with us. That's fine."
You should have taken Featherfall. We wouldn't have had to do any rope business.
Okay, so moving to the top of the order, Feng, it is now your turn. You guys are 30 feet down. You look back up and you see that there's much more to go than has already been done.
If I fail this one, I'm giving up.
Just choose to fail your deck. No, fall off.
That becomes a 10.
Hey!
Ooh. Is this your lucky dice?
No.
See? Further evidence at trial. Okay. So you are able to move your full movement down?
Sweet. So I'm at 60 feet.
Okay. Once you get 60 feet down, I need you to make a perception check for me.
Okay. 13.
You see that there is another ledge sticking out from the rock face from which you're rappelling. It kind of comes out towards you. And it appears that there's a less strenuous descent from here down to the bottom of the ravine. But it is a bit far away from the rope that you're rappelling on. So you might need to swing and jump to get onto that ledge. But it would mean an easier climb down for the rest of them.
I can barely climb a rope. I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing and jump.
Do you point this out to the others?
He says that out loud and he just waits for someone to notice what he's talking about.
Yes, as you all start shimmying down, that's what you missed on your perception check, Quig. Yeah. So, Louis, it is your turn for me.
Okay. 11.
That is a pass. You're also able to move 60 foot down using your movement. If you want to use your action to jump onto the ledge, you can.
So just use the action. Do I have to roll for it or?
Yeah, well, yeah, oh, yeah. To make an acrobatics check.
Okay. I only have a plus one, so I don't like my rolls at the moment. I'm just going to stick here.
Okay, Lysandra.
That's a 12.
That's a pass. Would you also like to try and get off the rope onto the ravine?
Is it going to make movement harder for everyone else on the rope below me?
I will say if you use acrobatics, no. If you use athletics, where you are sheerly like hauling yourself on to the ledge using the rope, Tarzan style, that might make it a bit difficult for your other compatriots. So I'll give you the option.
I want to, but I'm also aware that these two need to get down there safely. I'm going to try and do it with athletics.
Okay, yeah, for sure. Roll me athletics. You need to make it a good athletics check.
You can do it.
That's a 22.
22.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you are able to swing and heft your way onto the ledge. That is your turn, I will say. Yeah, you see Lysandra crashes down onto this ledge. Her armor like kind of like jilts and falls a little bit as kind of the gravity hits. And there's this kind of loud thump through the ravine. And then silence. What would, moving back to the top of the order, we have Fang.
Will you catch me if I jump over?
I'll try.
Okay, so it's only a 40-foot drop from here. So with Lysandra giving the help action, you guys can essentially roll your acrobatics checks with advantage. Bang, off you go.
That's an 8.
Oh no.
One of them was a natural one.
let's go, okay. I was going to say let's make Louis roll as well, but that would be too bad. So you see, I'm going to need a dexterity saving throw as you kind of jump forward and completely miss Lysandra's outstretched hand. Do not fail to this.
That's an 11.
Oh,
we are rolling very mid.
DC 10. You see, yeah, you're able to slap the palm of your hand on the edge of the ledge. And yeah, you're dangling precariously from that. Lysandra, I need a strength check from you to help him up.
That is a natural 20 plus 4 is 24.
Beautiful. Hell yeah.
You see Lysandra's social anxiety completely kicks in and just like with a single arm pulls this massive fur bulb out, having immediately like in her own mind she's like, oh, I failed this, need to fix this, and it was reached down and almost like inhumanly just pull you out of the ravine. Well, I'm gonna say like a dog, like with the scuff of the neck, just like up onto the ledge next to her.
Hey, this was the thing I needed to trust you on today. You saved me.
You're welcome. Let's get Louie down here.
All right, Louie.
Coming. I'm trying.
Quig's still like spiraling down.
Quig's just spiraling.
I think I've made it to the bottom now. I'm just standing. Come on, guys.
We're trying. Okay. 16.
16. With a hefty creak. Louie essentially like just waits for like a large gust of wind to come through the ravine and it pushes her over and she just lets go and falls into the outstretched arms of Lysandra and Fang. Okay, so now that you're on the side of this ledge, you see that there are actual like more like rock formations that you can actually climb down for the last 40 feet. I will let you all make athletics or acrobatics, whatever you would like, to descend down. And Quig, can you give us a perception check as you reach the bottom of the ravine? But we'll start with the climbers first.
Go. Okay.
It's a DC 5, so let me know if you pass or fail.
Pass.
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 Wonderful. As you all descend into the bottom of the ravine, I will now ask Quig for that perception check.
All right. That's a 7.
A 7. So, Quig, you don't see anything. You're almost like deer in the headlights. Just so fascinated with your own light cantrip. Yeah, you are kind of... And plus being shaken by, you know, Fang nearly falling to his death.
Yeah,
multiple times.
Several times.
It was a very stressful viewing experience.
All right, so everyone else, you can now make a perception check for me. Let's go around the table. Feng.
10.
17.
17 for Louis.
9.
And 9 for Lysandra. Okay, so descending the bottom of the ravine, the moonlight only trickles in from above. Most of the space is taken up by a damp and stale gloom created by the overhangs in the ravine itself. The area you find yourself in is around 20 feet wide, and the sand underneath it is damp with condensation. From the crevices towards the bottom, trails of bioluminescent boluses and strands of wispy lichen can be seen feeding on the gloom itself. The occasional chirp of swiftlets darting from one side of the ravine to the other, catching small insects on the wing and returning to their silvery nests, cupped onto the sheer rock itself. That is what you all see. I will say, Louis, with your perception check,
mm-hmm.
you got a 17, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Attached to the far side of the wall, where the smell of putrefaction and rot seems to linger, you see a column of mushrooms clinging to the rock face.
Ooh.
They have a delicate shale of spores slowly falling from their eaves to coat the rocks below them. And that's all you see.
Okay. I'm going to go to the nature druid, and I'm just going to kind of point that out and be like, hey, Fang, have you ever seen those kind of mushrooms before?
You can give me a nature check.
13.
You are very familiar with mushrooms. Down towards the south in Hermitage, every autumn, there's a mushroom festival where the druids go out. But the mushrooms you're familiar with are much more like gross and sticky and icky. This kind of seems like a column of mushrooms that you are unfamiliar with. They have like broad, dark brown crowns, and the gills underneath them are like pale white and grey. You are not familiar with them.
With a 13, do they look poisonous?
Make a wisdom check, just a pure wisdom check for me.
23.
You could do some tests on it to see if it was. You would probably need to like take a sample, a small sample, and like almost microdose it, but the indicators on it is that it's not an inherently poisonous mushroom, but it does smell bad. But, you know, some great mushrooms and truffles smell bad and taste amazing.
Or I might just cast... could we take 10 minutes for me to ritual cast Detect Poison and Disease?
Yeah, we can do that while you guys are looking around.
We'll investigate down here.
Okay.
Thanks for pointing it out, Louis. I sit down and commune with nature, and I'll find out for you.
Thanks.
All right, where do you sit? So you just sit in the bottom of the ravine?
Yep.
Okay. Quig, what are you up to?
I will recast Detect Magic while we're down here.
It
takes the same amount of time, so 10 okay. minutes. Because it lasts 10 minutes each time I cast it. So
okay.
10 minutes to ritual cast it.
Lysandra, what are you up to?
I'm going to keep an eye out for anything coming towards us or anything that looks like it's going to try and kill us.
Okay.
To put it simply.
You can either make investigation or perception checks, and I'll get an arcana check from Quig.
All right.
And maybe a nature check with Commune with Nature.
No, I'm doing Detect Poison and Disease.
Oh, sorry, Detect Poison and Disease. Obviously, the spell will still go off, but see what else you can get. Okay, Feng, what did we get for our nature check?
6.
6?
I have a plus 1.
Okay.
I got a 22 on my arcana.
Okay.
We're trending with a natural 1 for perception.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Always when we're looking out for danger, every time.
Which is very stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, well, as it takes the same amount of ritual time to cast these spells, we'll go with those rolls first. We'll start with your arcana check, which was a...
22.
22. And Feng, yours was a 6.
6.
For nature. Okay. So first thing, I think you, the way I guess you're very analytical, you probably start out broad and then move your way closer in.
Mm.
You do detect some kind of powerful inherent magic from the swiftlet nests, these silvery nests that are kind of like up on the rock face itself, the other, like the far rock face from where the monolith is, not the rock face that you came. They have some inherent magic to them.
Could you tell me what kind of magic?
In terms of, I could be a real stinker and say, like, here's the school, but it seems that it's kind of almost like an alchemical power to it.
Mm.
Like, they are not magical, but they have magical properties.
Yeah. And when you say swiftlet nest, I'm guessing they're like a bird.
Yeah. So they're actually based on a real cave swiftless in the real world. They use their nests for soup. It's called bird nest soup, and it's like worth more than its weight in silver. The nests are actually made from the bird's saliva, and then hardens into like this like ichor. So that's what you get. And as we move down towards the more narrow perception of the spell, we'll move over to Fang's six.
Yeah, I'll quickly read detect poison and disease as well. Do. So for the duration, you can sense the presence and location of poisons, poisonous creatures, and diseases within 30 feet of you. You also identify the kind of poisonous creature, or disease in each case. And I think that he's... the way that this probably looks is kind of holding the staff out in front of him, and like he's more like heightening the smells of these poisons that carry along the wind, and that's what he's looking out for, the actual like smells of these things.
Great. I'm gonna say with a six, you approach the stack of mushrooms and kind of bend down and like almost like on a dusty table dresser, kind of like wipe your finger across the stone to collect some of the spores and kind of just... and to taste them, was like sucking your thumb almost. You do detect a poison, a hallucinogenic poison.
And these are used for a good time.
Yeah, it seems so. What do?
I collect some. I save these for when we're celebrating our victory and we can party after.
As Feng reaches forward and pulls one of the crowns of these mushrooms on, you hear this almost like uncupping from the side as this column of spores lurches forward, column of mushrooms lurches forward, and a huge spray of these spores emanates forward, and that is where we will end our session.
Oh no! I need you to know everyone around the table just gagged.
Description. I really struggle with the...
Sound.
The sound, and then what did you say? You said something else about it. No, about like it ripping out as well.
Yeah, just tattoo.
Whatever you said...
Gross.
Didn't like it.
I'm not going to say it again because I don't want to re-traumatize you.
No,
yeah, it's for the best.
I'm so sorry.
You re-traumatize us next week.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking, the recap includes the sound again. It's like the mushroom sounded like...
Please, no.
We branch off and just do like NPC fantasy ASMR. Just like, you know, like a an ooze going down the stairs. All right, gang. As always, at the end of our session, we do our selfless plugs. Does anyone have any they want to start up with for today?
I have one.
Yeah, sure, Jeremy.
I'm sure plenty of people out there are also avid video essay enjoyers, consumers, and I found this amazing channel called Cold Crash Pictures. They make videos on media and culture. Just the other day, I started listening to a video, watching a video about the TV show Dinosaurs, which is a sitcom... live-action sitcom with animatronic dinosaurs, which I've never seen.
That's incredible.
I love watching videos about things I've never watched and may never watch. But this video in particular was called Saurian Cinema, Capitalism Killed the Dinosaurs, in brackets, and We're Next. Just great.
So phenomenal. Cheery. And with that cheery note...
We'll see you all next week.
See you later, guys.
Bye. See ya.